Received this Christmas letter from a good friend who writes, actually he writes this just after putting up his nativity scene in his front yard. While I was putting together the stable this year, I was thinking of how I had designed and built the 5-foot angels, bent and welded the steel frames, covered them with lights, and how I designed and cut out the stable, making sure that the angels or the angles were mited just right. And my head began to swell with pride. And that's when it hit me. No, the 5-foot angels did not fall on me or the donkey didn't kick me, but something that got my attention just as much. Pride. The Christmas story is all about humility. The King of Kings, the Son of God, leaving the splendor of heaven to be born an illegitimate son, to be born to a family, a poor family, in a stinking stable. If that doesn't smell, if that doesn't spell humility, I don't know what does. The definition of a paradox is something that seems absurd or even unbelievable and yet may be true. A statement that appears contradictory. Now, as we give our attention to this event in which we are celebrating, the Christmas story, it is full of paradoxes. It centers around a baby that is born to a virgin. Isn't that something that seems absurd and unbelievable? Yet the Bible maintains that it is true. And the baby was born in Bethlehem. Yes, it was the city of David, but I understand at the time in which this happened, it was hardly anything to get too excited about. And furthermore, on that point, Jesus would be raised in Nazareth, and there was a mocking comment that attached itself to Nazareth that nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. Even consider the occasion of the event. The city, as humble as it was bursting because of a decree that Caesar had put concerning the census. And with the census came a tax. So although all the ancestors of King David were assembled in Bethlehem, it was a forced family reunion that would really benefit Rome. So in the contrast of the business of Bethlehem, there was in the solitary stable, a young couple appreciating their privacy. And then it happened. God became man. What a huge paradox. Something which seems totally absurd and unbelievable, but true. The Creator became the created. God became a man. But not in the security of a castle or with the majesty of a monarch, but in the obscurity of a stable and in the frailty of a child. The King of Kings enters our world in poverty and humility, and this was done by selection. This was done by choice. And consider the angels, how they announced his arrival to shepherds. This is hardly a coveted occupation. No glamour here. But one wonders, if the innkeeper had room for Mary and Joseph, would the shepherds have been welcomed? Would they have had access? Jesus had come for all. 8 days later, according to the Jewish law, Mary and Joseph presented Jesus, their firstborn son, to the Lord in the temple. While there, they encountered two very special individuals, Simeon and Anna. The paradox here is it seems like the rulers of the temple paid no attention, was totally unmoved by this young baby, Jesus. And yet these two faithful saints had been quietly and surely waiting for the promised Messiah, the deliverer of Israel. And this continues as the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to inquire of Herod, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod, king under Roman rule, gathers all the chief priests and scribes together and demanded to know where the Christ, the promised one, was to be born. They knew immediately, as they quoted from Micah, in Bethlehem. Yet they were apparently unmoved, for they did not make any decision or effort to personally investigate. Herod gives us at least some possibility, some merit, and asks the wise men to share with him their findings, that he might come and worship him too, though we know that he had something far more sinister in mind. And realizing this, the wise men did not report back to him, and all the children in Bethlehem, two and under, were killed. Paradoxes. Let's continue to look at paradoxes of Christmas as we celebrate this event called Christmas. When asked, what is Christmas? A number of common themes continue to appear. It is a time for family. Yet I know for many, this is one of the most strained times for family. There seems to be a lot of pressure and expectations placed on family around Christmas. It's a time for simple things, and yet we kill ourselves with decorations and elaborate dinners and expensive gifts. It's a time of reflection, yet for many businesses, Christmas is the crunch time as to whether they will make it or not for another year. It's a time of peace on earth, yet in the malls, there is emotional turmoil, fighting the crowds, gathering the gifts, even the exhilaration expressed of beating that other car to that coveted parking spot. It's a time to celebrate God's great gift, greatest gift. And I would think that many of you here would agree with that. But many are focused more on their Christmas list than God's Christmas gift. What has happened to Christmas? I kind of wonder if our economy is going to cause people to refocus their celebration of Christmas and not be drawn to the diamonds and the vehicles and the expensive electronics. But let me read a short portion of a letter, another letter that I received from a personal friend who is a missionary. "Rabbi, a 7-year-old boy I met earlier this year in Delhi is among the 95% of the world who aren't Americans. Ravi works 10 to 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, shining shoes on the streets of Delhi. Ravi faces 4 years of bonded labor in order to pay back a $35 loan his parents took out for his sister's wedding. Ravi will spend the next few years paying off a debt with less than what I spent for dinner last night. I don't intend to make you feel guilty this evening for all the benefits and blessings that we enjoy, that we are so pleased and blessed with during this time of the season. For we are blessed. Even amid this uncertain time, we are richly blessed. But that all fades into the night as we are amazed at the opportunity that we have of having a personal relationship with Almighty God. God became a man and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. God became a man that we may have a personal relationship with Almighty God. Let not our eyes be drawn to the attractions of this world. Yes, we are blessed to live in the land with its freedom and its provision. But really, do we honor, worship, and thank the real provider? James 1, verses 16 to 18 says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created." And here lies another great paradox. We think that we deserve some of this credit, but not so. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, all praise, all thanksgiving, all glory belongs to him.